Broadcasting live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Welcome to the Odds Couple right here on the Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard alongside the very funny and entertaining Anthony Padilla.
Thanks, buddy. It's good to be here. Today we're going to be talking about why in Cleveland they just need to get it over with, rename the dog pound the pound puppies, why Scott thinks the only thing that should ever be on ice is vodka, and why we hope this show does not go into overtime.
Let's get right to it. Let's attack the line. The Buffalo Bills are on the road taking on the San Francisco 49ers. The total for this game opened on Sunday night at 43. It was bet up to 44, and now it's at 44.5.
All right, listen, 44.5. There's going to be a ton of points in this game. Most of them are going to come from San Francisco, but there's going to be a ton of points. The Bills, not looking really good on either side of the ball. You know, I don't even know how they did that to the Patriots last week. You know, 21 in the first half and then obviously got annihilated afterwards. But the point is, they're able to put some points on the board. The 49ers, on the other hand, you know, just destroyed the Jets in New York, 34-0. This is an offensive machine. Receivers, backs, they're clicking on all cylinders on defense. Jim Harbaugh has that team ready. There's going to be a ton of points. I say probably 50 or more in this game.
I understand why the line has moved. The total opening 43, it's settled in at 44.5 today. I think it has to do with the fact that the Niners won by 34 points last week. Offensively, they showed that they can move the ball. They showed that they can certainly score some points. It shouldn't be too terribly difficult to score points against the Buffalo Bills defense. If you don't believe me, ask Tom Brady and the Pats. Now, last week, the Bills at home up 21-7, 11 minutes to go in the third quarter. Life is good. They're looking good. They're feeling good. Big problem. Tom Brady and the Patriots, basically, they did what they do on a week-in, week-out basis. They scored 45 points in the last quarter and a half. So I think it has to do more with the fact that the Bills have a big-time problem playing defense. And now this week, they're on the road taking on San Francisco. So I see why the line has moved. Do we attack this line or do we kick back? I say kick back. No opinion, but I do have an opinion. I think we should attack this next game. Talking about the Cleveland Browns, as ugly as they are, they're on the road taking on the New York Giants. Now, the early money has come in on the hapless Browns. It opened 10.5 Giants on Sunday night, was bet down to 10. Today, 8.5, 9.
All right, let's go ahead and just take a quick second. We're going to go over all the things that are going right in Cleveland for them this year. All right, that's about it. That's all they got. Nothing. They have nothing. Like I said, Dog Pound says something about, you know, like you don't want to play there. Everybody wants to go to Cleveland this year. Everybody. Now, this game is in New York, which makes it worse for the Browns. Eli Manning, again, doing his thing, whatever it is that he does, you know, figuring it out. They lost to Philly last week. Doesn't matter. They're playing the Browns. Okay, and it doesn't matter. This isn't one of those things where, well, but Philly beat Cleveland, and so, you know, it doesn't matter. The Giants are at home. The Browns are horrible on the road. They're horrible at home. They have Brandon Whedon, who the best thing going for him is that he's playing better than he did in week one, smoking something a little different out there in Cleveland. I don't know. Either way, they have nothing positive going for them. And the Giants, you know, the Giants don't want to lose. They definitely don't want to lose to Philly. And as much as of a Cowboys fan I am, you do not want to face the Giants after a division game loss like they had last week. So Giants 8.5, by 12 at least, I would say.
Before I attack the line, we have a live chat question.
Yes, Concerned Gambler says, Anthony is nuts. The Bills will be lucky to score 10 points, so the under is a lock. Anthony is smoking something.
Well, he's half right. Anthony is definitely smoking something. But I'm not convinced he's wrong when his assessment of this game. As far as the under, there has to be a reason, friends, why the line has moved up to 44.5 as opposed to under. Now, the gentleman who had the live chat question, he has to be loving this because 44 is a key number. So if he truly loves the under, he'll want to bet under 44.5.
Yeah. Thank you, by the way, for calling me out here. But I think you misunderstood what I was saying. I didn't say you're... Was that you, Scott? Did you just send in this question? Because I feel like that's something that you would do. Just send that in. Look, it doesn't matter who puts the points on the board. It's going to be the Niners, obviously. They put up 34 against the Jets, you know, and I understand the Bills aren't the Jets, but they play in the same crappy state. No offense out there, New York, New Jersey, whatever, Buffalo, Canada, whatever it is you're playing this year. But the point is, the points are going to be put on the board, and that's all that really matters.
So I'm not going to attack that total, okay? It's 44.5. I will wish the gentleman who had the courage to accuse Anthony of being high, I respect you already. So yeah, I'll be pulling for the under in this contest for your sake. Now, as far as the attacking the Giants game, the side, I realize it takes courage to step up and bet the Browns, but I really believe that underdogs oftentimes are undervalued. And the fact that this open 10.5 has been bet down to 8.5, 9, I will attack and I will take the Browns. They're 0-4. I get that. The defending Super Bowl champs are 2-2, but the Giants are there to win the game, not necessarily cover by double digits. So I will attack. I'll take the plus 9. Ultimately, as a professional, you want to be plus 10.5, plus 10, but still three field goals, plus 9, I see value.
I see no value, man. The Cleveland Browns suck.
Well, this is why we're the odds couple.
Yeah, I'm usually got the right opinion, and you've got, all right, that's enough. Well, I don't know. Do you really think that Cleveland's...
I would not lay, I'm a dog player, whereas you're just a dog. I would go ahead, I don't lay points in the NFL. It's a losing proposition long term, so I tend to be a dog player.
But if I'm a dog, you're a dog player, doesn't that mean that you would be on my side?
I'm talking
You don't sports. Even know you're, all right, that's enough of this. Let's have some fun with Spin to Win, which is the segment where we teach bettors to bet with their heart, not with their heart, because that's a bad idea. We actually teach them to bet with their head. All right, this is for the guy in Chicago who married a woman who looks like Dick Butkus, and that's exactly why he married her. He named his dog Ditka. He eats Polish sausage for breakfast every day. You know, and this guy loses a ton of money every week betting with his heart. And when you have Cutler, that's a rough one. But in this segment, we are forced to take two teams. This week, we have the Denver Broncos visiting Foxborough, taking on the New England Patriots. Patriots are favored by 6.5 in this one. We're going to spin the wheel. We're forced to take an opposing side. Scott's going to go with the first team. Tara, let's get to the wheel and spin it.
Scotty's got the Patriots.
I'm glad you said who I have. I couldn't even read that. My eyes are so bad. Okay, the Patriots. I see the graphic now. Okay, New England minus the 6.5. This is cheap. Yes, according to Anthony, I'm cheap apparently, but I guess what? As a professional sports bettor, you need to be cheap. You need to find value. 6.5 is a bargain. This New England Patriot football team, they're loaded offensively. They're number one in all of football. Defensively, they've improved from a year ago. Last year, they were 31st out of 32 teams. This year, they're up to 20. Very tough team to run against. So I think the Patriots, minus the 6.5 points, really present some value. Let us not forget the last 1.5 against Buffalo, they outscored the Bills 45-7. The Patriots, they were on the road last week. They're at home. What was it? Brady at one time over the past few years won 30 consecutive home games. So the question is, how many points will the Patriots win by? I think 7 points is cheap. Minus the 6.5 is a bargain simply because you're talking about a touchdown and an extra point. Wow. I'm surprised that the point spread for this contest is this low.
I'm surprised you're done talking and you actually got the... You got the Patriots. All day we go over this, and it's Broncos, Broncos, Broncos. And then, of course, the guy who likes the Patriots gets the Patriots. Look, let me just tell you something right now. The only reason Scott has that much information on the Patriots is because he has Patriots footy pajamas and every possible stat for the last 15 years in his bedroom on a dry erase board. So, of course, he's got arguments for it. But that being said, the Broncos are the team to go with this week, all right? Peyton Manning is no longer a dome quarterback. He plays in the Mile High City, outdoors, cold weather, all of the same elements as Foxborough, you know, so they don't have that advantage anymore. You've got an aging team in New England, a team that, frankly, is up and down week to week. Denver seems to have hit a little bit of a stride with Manning, you know, and they're definitely going in the right direction. Their defense looks like it's playing better each week. Peyton has the receivers, you know, they're clicking. They're gelling a lot better than they were early on. They, you know, just look at what they did last week against the Raiders. You know, I mean, that was like an old school just butt whooping right there. That was it. The Raiders had no answer, and it's the Raiders, of course. But that aside, you know, Denver really put it together. And it's one thing to win the games you're supposed to win. It's another thing to do what they did to Oakland. They're going into New England. I think New England, I don't think they're going to lay down. But I just feel like they don't have that. They don't possess that same thing that they used to where you're worried to play them anymore. You know, and they don't really come out strong. If they do what they did last week against Buffalo and lay down in the first half against Denver, it's going to be too much of a deficit, and Denver's not going to let them back in the game. So Denver, you got. I don't even want to hear it, Scott. What are you going to – oh, Patriots. I know. Great. Fantastic.
You need to hear it, though, okay? It's not what you want to hear. It's what you need to hear. I respectfully disagree with your assessment that the Patriots are an old team. Yes, Brady, a little long in the tooth, but he's proven. I mean, over 5,200 passing yards a year ago. The fact is the Patriots are younger. They start three rookies on defense, and Stephen Ridley, stud running back. They had not one but two running backs that had over 100 yards against Buffalo a week ago.
I love when you talk about your Patriots, because the one thing it always leads to is you making points that you've tried to use against me. Last year, you bring up last year. Who cares how many yards he threw for last year? You know what I mean? He married Giselle 2 years ago. Yeah, that's not working out so well. So it doesn't matter what you've done in the past.
History,
it's about now.
History has a way of repeating itself.
Yes, and they're going to lose again. You know, it's in the news. This whole thing in the media with Wes Welker and the problems that they're having in the locker room, that's never been an issue there. They brought in Randy Moss and Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, whatever, tattoo, wife on his, whatever he is now. You know, and they didn't have those problems with them. Now, Wes Welker, who's contributed in the past, you know, now they're not using as much. And there's some stuff going on in that locker room that they're not talking about to the media. So
they may not be talking about it, but you and I are. Fact is, he was the leading receiver in all of football a year ago, but when you have five go-to guys, there's only one football.
I don't even know what that means.
What that means is you can't include...
All right, well, very good. There's one football, and we've got one show. We're having a great time with you on it. We are the Odds Couple. Please come back. We're on the Vegas Video Network.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on the Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard alongside the very funny, entertaining Anthony Padilla. We would love to see you and hear you on our show. All you have to do is email us, oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. We would also enjoy having your voice on our show. All you do is you go to our webpage, and on the right-hand side, a red bar, click on that, and then the center right there, on the graphic, you'll see a green bar. Hit start, record, voila, your voice is on our network. Also, keep those live chat questions coming. I love live chat because it's where I get to see my good buddy Anthony struggle trying to answer live chat questions. If you miss us live, it's okay. You can check us out on YouTube, Vegas Video Network, iTunes, Roku. Every Saturday afternoon, Las Vegas time, 12 noon. We're rebroadcast on KSHP AM 1400 radio. That's KSHP AM 1400 radio. Now, we talk about a lot of things, namely sports betting here on The Odds Couple. We've talked primarily about football, college and pro football, sides, totals, money lines. Very exciting baseball season, the playoffs, full swing after 162-game season. Your thoughts on the current format?
Man, first of all, I'm salivating because baseball always has my heart. You know, I love football, but April and October are the best two times a year for me. The current format question, Bud Selig is horrible for the game of baseball. I can't stand what this guy does. He just continues to find new ways to ruin my favorite game and push people away from it. Like, it's not good for the fans. And if anybody doesn't know, basically the new format is you've got an extra wild card round, which is one game, with two teams to play their way in. That's why you just played the regular season. You just played 162 games to get in. Look, if you want to add an extra wild card team, then just add two and make it a series. Just add an extra series. That would be good for the fans. That would be good for baseball. This is stupid.
I don't make a habit of this, but I actually agree with Anthony in this case. I really feel, I mean, it adds a lot of excitement, but again, the logic behind it, I mean, come on, we're talking about a sport where the All-Star game, an exhibition game, will determine which team is going to be at home in the World Series. One has nothing to do with the other. This year, coincidentally, the National League will be hosting the World Series. Now, something I like, 162-game season, I'm very excited because the Oakland A's, Anthony touched on the Athletics, we're talking about a team they didn't even know where first place was. The Texas Rangers, April 13th, had been in first place the entire season. Game 162, the A's won and won the division. Now the Texas Rangers find themselves in an elimination, one and done, wild card game. So I'm with Anthony on this simply because it's like, wow, we play 6 months, 162 games. Now, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. We're in a hurry up and play one game. I just don't get it. But enough about that. Are you kidding me?
All right. There's something else going on in the world of sports that I can't stand. I love baseball. Can't stand the commissioner. Love football. I thought Roger Goodell might be good for it. But, man, as of late, the decisions are just poor. The overtime is what I want to talk about right now. Sudden death. That's how it was, you know, since I was born. And that's how it should be. Sudden death. You just played four quarters. You both had the ball however many times to win the game. If it goes over, that's it. Now, whoever scores wins. It's over with and done. You know, who needs fairness? That's not life. Life isn't fair. I've got to host this show with Scott every week. Clearly, life is not fair. All right? But I deal with it. And that's fine. You just do what you got to do. If you got to win the game, 52% of the teams before, that's all that was winning, you know, and it caused no issues. I don't like this whole format because, you know, fans complain, well, it's not fair that this team's, go watch soccer then, all right, and then you get penalty kicks and whatever else goes on. But as for football, these are modern day gladiators, you know, they get paid a lot of money to play a big boys game. This isn't college, it's not high school, you don't need to console them. These aren't babies, little kids in peewee football playing this game. It's grown men, just let them play, you played four quarters, give them the ball, whoever scores wins, that's it. Are you kidding me? Just stop.
The concern I have, icing the kicker. Sunday night, perfect example. I was at Caesar's Palace enjoying the Rod Stewart concert. I wasn't much of a fun date because I kept tracking the score of the Eagles versus the Giants game. It came down to the very last play. The Giants are going to kick a potential game-winning 54-yard field goal. And right before they snap the ball, Andy Reid, coach of the Eagles, timeout, timeout, timeout. I'm icing the kicker. But the kicker missed it. It was wide. 66,000 fans for the Eagles, very, very upset with Andy Reid. But when they eventually kicked it, it was short. So thank goodness for Andy Reid. He got a reprieve. The Eagles won the contest by 2 points, 19-17, the final score. But it's been overplayed. It's been overdone. Get rid of the icing the kicker idea. The reason is, come on, the football games are too long to begin with. 3 hours and 30 minutes of contest. It's way too long. Knock it off with the icing the kicker already. Are you kidding me? All right, enough there, whining. Scott. You like that? Okay, yeah. I'll continue to work on that. This is where Anthony and I put money in your pocket. We're hopeful to put you on the right side.
Games. We're going to recap what we did last week. My buddy and I, Scott, technically we went 0-2, you know, but that's just in the win-loss department. As far as what we said, gems. All right, I was talking about I had the Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons were favored by 7 points in that one. I talked about how Cam was probably going to have a big game, which he did. You know, I said everybody was going to show up for him, which they did. Carolina looked fantastic. Atlanta, I said, was going to play very well, which they did. I went with Atlanta minus the 7. That was the only part I had wrong, was minus 7. Other than that, I was good across the board. How'd you do, Scotty?
Actually, I'm very disappointed that you had to bring it up. But we own everything that we say on this network. We make no apologies. I am not, will not apologize for being under 42 points in the Monday night game, the Bears playing the Dallas Cowboys, and it has nothing to do with the final score. Yes, I lost money, and I hope you as a viewer didn't lose too much money. The idea here is Monday afternoon, the total on this game was 42.5 by kickoff. It closed under 41. The whole world on the under, including the wise guys, the sharp bettors. And the idea here is if you are 1.5 points, if you're getting the best of it by 1.5 points long term, the last thing you have to worry about is making money. So you're not going to win every game. The break-even point ATS against the spread is 52.4%. That means you have to be right 11 times out of 21, easier said than done. But in that contest, I was watching the game. I was excited. I already had my money spent. Late in the second quarter, it's 3-0 Chicago. We've already talked about this. You can't forecast turnovers. Well, the Bears had an INT, run back for a touchdown. Dallas then retaliated, scored a late second quarter touchdown. It's 10-7, 17 points. We have under 42.5, under 42. Life is good. It's all fine. Second half total, 20.5. So it's projected to be 36.5, 37 points for the contest. But turnovers. Tony Romo, a good quarterback, had a bad game. five INTs. I disagree with Joe Theismann. I love Joe Theismann as a speaker. Thought he was a great quarterback, but he threw Tony Romo under the bus. I disagree, and I think Tony Romo is a good quarterback.
Man, talk about throwing him under the bus. It's like he threw him under Lance Taylor, man. I mean, I couldn't believe when he said what he did. You know what I mean? I felt like it was a bit of an extreme comment. I think that it was much. I think he just wanted to be heard. And I think it was just too much to say, Tony Romo's not a good quarterback. Somebody had to say it there, I said it. No, that's a ridiculous statement. Of course he's a good quarterback. You know, he talked about him overthrowing two receivers. That's not true. Dez Bryant had a ball go right through his hands. Five interceptions, you brought that up. Look, the first interception, Dez Bryant, wrong route. Second interception, Kevin Ogletree bounced right off his arm. These are NFL guys, right? I mean, they should be catching these balls. Third interception, he was switching the ball from his right to his left hand. He got blindsided. God forbid somebody make a block and he doesn't have to take that hit. There's three. Numbers four and five, can't really, I mean, yes, they were his fault, but they were down by so much at that point. He's just trying to make things happen. Everybody talks about he's very much like Brett Favre, you know, that gunslinger mentality. But when you're down by that much, what do you do? You know, and so did he play well? No, of course not. But there were bigger issues. The defense was horrible. That was the worst they played all year. I'm watching the game on a 52-inch, and there's no Dallas Cowboy defenders anywhere near any of the Bears receivers. It's stupid. Like, it looked like it was pregame. It was. I can't talk about it.
I wish you wouldn't. I'm glad Romo only had five INTs, because if he had seven, I'd have to listen to seven reasons why.
Of course. That's my quarterback, man. That's my quarterback. There's a little T.O. callback. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. That's remember that. Yeah, I like that.
You're
busy
right
spoken.
Now.
It's like you're emotionally attached to these Cowboys, I can tell.
Absolutely. Of course I am, man. Yes. Like, I'm more emotionally invested in this team than any woman has ever been in you. Now, that's last week's game. All right, cheap shot, boom, let's move on. The right side this week, new games. Winners at some point. I'm either going to say the right stuff or I'm going to pick the right team. But I'm going this week with the Houston Texans, heading up to New York, taking on the New York Jets. The Texans are favored by 8.5 in this game. You know what? The Jets are a mess. You know, it's a media circus there every week, but they're a very talented team. All right, they've got Tebow, they've got Mark Sanchez, and he's kind of figuring it out still, but he's got the tools. He definitely has the tools. The thing that's going to hurt them the most is the fact that they lost their biggest guy in defense, their biggest receiver, Darrelle Revis and Santonio Holmes, both out for the season. You know, and you're going up against a Houston Texans team that, frankly, just wow. I mean, these guys. Matt Schaub lost part of his ear, and he's still putting up bigger numbers, you know, than other guys in the league. And it's just they're going out there. I see Houston doing big things. New York, I don't know. We talk about it every week, but you have to. There's another photo shoot coming up for Tebow at some point. Listen, I'm gonna make this easy. The right side for me in this game, Houston Texans. With the 8.5, they're probably going to win by more than that. J-E-T-S might as well be S-U-C-K.
No argument here. I have to say that the Atlanta Falcons, before I get to my game, I see that we have a live chat question.
Yeah, Bill G wants to know, are the Texans really as good as their record?
The Houston Texans, outstanding team. The sports books actually think that they're a great team. The numbers prove that. Right now, the Houston Texans are the favorite to represent the AFC in the conference championship game. The New England Patriots are the second favorite. I really feel that it's easy to make Houston the favorite, but they're overhyped. They're overrated, even though they're probably going to go into New York and beat the Jets. The next few weeks will tell the story, in my opinion, in regards to the Houston Texans. They play Baltimore. They play at New England. They also play the Green Bay Packers. They have to go to Tennessee. Last week, they beat Tennessee, but not everyone knows this. Tennessee Titans actually had more yards than the Houston Texans. It came down to what it always comes down to in the NFL, which makes it very challenging to handicap, turnovers. Houston forced turnovers and they scored. Good teams find ways to win. Houston Texans are a very good team. Statistically speaking, I don't think they're as good as their record. They're in a cake division. Anytime you get to play the Colts and Jacksonville and Tennessee every other week, that's good for any team. The challenge is going to be when they step out of their division. Now, late in the year, when you look at like Denver taking on New England this week, it's a big game because you're talking about two potential division winners. Well, the Houston Texans are going to be a division winner. So when you have head-to-head games, you look at tiebreakers. Hypothetically, if the Houston Texans go 12-4, 13-3, and let's say the Patriots, the Broncos, and the Ravens are in that ballpark as well, then it comes down to having a first-round bye, owning the tiebreaker, and that's why I think Houston, solid, but a bit overhyped, a bit overrated. Talk to me after December 10th, when the Texans play their third consecutive road game in December at New England. That will be a tiebreaker game, okay? Talk to me then. In the meantime, I think the Texans are good, but not as good as the media would have you believe. Now, as far as my right side, I'm going to preview a game. The Atlanta Falcons are taking on the Washington Redskins. This game is in D.C. The total for this game is set at 51, the second highest total on the board. I do have an opinion on this game. The Atlanta Falcons, 4-0, they've been perfect. They score a lot of points defensively, a bit challenged, but they're in a weak division. The Saints being so bad in that division. Now, Carolina and Tampa Bay, they're good teams, but far from great. So again, Atlanta, like Houston, they've been blessed with a very favorable schedule. But it's a long season. It's why we play 16 games. Falcons can score. The Washington Redskins, defensively, not bad, not great. Offensively, they've struggled. But the thing I like about the Redskins, RG3, going to be a star in this league. But rookies do what rookies do. And by that, I mean they turn the ball over. So I'm expecting that RG3, as good as he is, will be good for one or two turnovers that will probably lead to Atlanta Falcon points. The right side, over 51. I think it's cheap.
Good job, Scotty.
You have nothing to say for a change?
I actually was listening intently for once, and I was like, I actually like what this guy's got to say. And frankly, I can't stand the Redskins, obviously, as a Cowboys fan. But again, it's amazing. It's amazing how when you look at the schedule before the season starts and you see the games, you just go, well, that's going to suck. That's going to be a boring game. This is going to be... And then the season starts, and it's the exact opposite. And it's just week after week of great football.
I think what you have, the National Football League, it's all about parity on any given Sunday. How many times have we heard that? But you'll see oftentimes the standings are flip-flopped from year to year. Look at the Green Bay Packers struggling a little bit. They went 15-1 a year ago. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers on the verge of going 1-3 if they lose to the Eagles this coming weekend. So, I mean, I could go through each and every team and make an argument. I mean, so many teams are hovering right around that 500 mark. It is early.
It is, but like you said, a lot of teams are doing one thing or the other. And you know what? For everything you had to say about the Texans, it's a lot easier if you start the season 4-0, 5-0. If you start losing, you've got a lot of time to figure stuff out versus digging yourself a hole, you know, 1-3 and 2-2, and trying to figure it out, having to force wins out at the same time.
Big difference, for
sure. Big difference. Well, either way, it's going to be a lot of good football. Guys, we're having a ton of fun with you, as we always do. Scott, what do you got going on this weekend?
Actually, you can track my plays on VegasInsider.com. We have close to a million hits per day. You can also check out my plays on my site, PritchardsPicks.com. That's PritchardsPicks.com. I have about 7 hits per day. But enough about me. I want to hear about my favorite comic, Anthony Padilla.
Well, since your favorite comic could not come out today, I will gladly talk about what I'm doing. I'm probably all 7 of those hits, but I love PritchardsPicks.com. I love checking it out every day just to figure out what I'm going to do this week. And as always, I've got the show over at LVH, Comedy After Dark, with myself. I always got friends who stop by. You know, please come join us. It's at 10 o'clock every night, Thursday through Sunday. Saturday is going to be very cool, actually. Scotty, I believe, will be there. I believe he might have another show. But we've got a big thing, guys. This is a big weekend. Happy 2-year anniversary to the Vegas Video Network, which is right here where we're at. Saturday is a big party going down, and they're coming out to the show. So this would be a great night. Saturday night, I invite all of you to come out. Check us out. You can meet everybody from the Vegas Video Network, everybody who's done shows here, been a part of it, people you want to meet, people you probably don't want to meet, whatever. We're all going to be there. Scotty, we'll try to get you there.
Appreciate it.
Try to get there. And
I wasn't even invited.
No.
It's the first I've heard of it.
We just invited you, Scott. All right, check me out on Twitter, as always, Facebook, every other Craigslist, whatever. If you can find me on the internet, that's fine. You can check me out every Monday through Friday on the nationally broadcast Nick Bonsanto Show, Sports Byline USA Network, American Forces Network if you're in the military. That's my resume, man. That's all I got.
Well said. Good job.
Oh, thank you.
I'm glad you're here,
45,
Anthony.
I had your Houston rant to work on that. So
I see that. Anthony and I, you can hear us live every Friday afternoon, 12 o'clock noon, Las Vegas time, Vegas Video Network, The Odds Couple. We would love to see you again each and every Friday afternoon. For my good friend Anthony Padilla, my name is Scott Pritchard. Have a great week.